I just turned it on. Yeah, maybe this one just popped.
Testing.
Try now. Test, test, test. Good. Thanks, Andrew. Okay, yeah, so we're starting with our new service structure today, and we'll see how it goes. We're just going to try it out for 2 months for the summer, and then after we can always reevaluate and see how things are going. Okay? So for today, we are on page 49 for our spiritual warfare study. It's going to be a little bit of a different topic. Last week, we talked about Halloween, which is something that, you know, maybe we don't often hear messages on Halloween in church, but we discussed the fact that when we look into the history of Halloween, that it's actually more rooted in pagan rituals, and also there's a highly demonic element to it. And so we understood that as Christians, Halloween is not something that we should be involving ourselves in, that it doesn't promote the things that God would want for us or want us to be involved in. And so today we're actually going to look at another topic that is gaining a lot of traction, especially amongst young people. But before we get into it, let's just pray as always and ask Holy Spirit to give us wisdom. Father, we just thank you so much for your goodness and your faithfulness in our lives. God, we are here to connect with you and to meet with you and to fellowship with you. Doesn't matter about what's happening around us, but right now we want to be focused on you, God, because this is about our relationship with you and us experiencing you in this opportunity that we have to gather together as a church family. I pray right now that you would help me to speak your truth in love, but that you would also open our ears and open the eyes of our understanding, so that we could understand how it is that you want us to live. And I just pray, God, that you would help us to love your truth and to cherish your truth, that your truth, God, would become more important to us than anything else in our life, God, because we know that when we are living according to your truth, then we are on the right path that you desire for us, God. So we ask that you would lead us and that you would guide us today. In your name we pray. Amen. So we're going to be talking about horoscopes and astrology today. Okay? And a lot of the material is just self-explanatory, but let's just go through it together and see where Holy Spirit leads us. So first bullet point. Another thing that has become increasingly popular in recent years, especially amongst the Gen Z generation. Okay, that's if you're born between 1997 and 2012, is the fascination with horoscopes and astrology. Okay, a 2022 poll by YouGov found that 27% of Americans and 37% of adults under the age of 30 believe in astrology. 31% of those are Catholics and 22% are Protestants, meaning they're Christians. They're Bible-believing, Christ-following believers. Okay, this belief has also increased over the years as social media and celebrities have amplified its popularity. Many young people are looking to astrology to answer life's big philosophical questions. There are many apps and TikTok videos that present astrology as the answer to having a sense of purpose in life. Additionally, many magazines and social media outlets include daily horoscopes that advise people on how to act or what to expect each day. To understand why this growing belief is concerning, we need to understand how astrology is different from science. Okay? So, we know that astrology exists, but there is something also called astronomy. Okay? And there's a difference. So, astrology often gets confused with astronomy, but the two are very different. Astronomy is a science focused on studying stars, planets, and space, and it helps us understand God's creation. Astrology, on the other hand, is not scientific. It's a belief system that attempts to predict personal events and or personality traits by interpreting celestial movements. Okay, astrology revolves around the zodiac, a term from the Greek word zodiakos, meaning circle of animals, derived from zoon, which means animal. Okay, this term refers to constellations associated with animals along the zodiac's path. This zodiac belt represented the course through which the sun, moon, and planets appear to move over the year, which would then have an influence on a person's personality or destiny. While this belief is growing in cultural popularity and may seem innocent on the surface, we as believers should be on the lookout. To understand why, it's essential to see the origins of this belief system. Okay, so similar to Halloween, you might ask yourself the question, okay, it just seems harmless. It doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal. But remember, we're talking about spiritual warfare. We're talking about potentially opening up doors to the demonic realm. And when we participate in certain things in the natural realm, we can open up doors to things in the spiritual realm. And I think a lot of times as Christians, we go through our journey not necessarily knowing that some of these things we participate in are not harmless, that they have the potential of being destructive to our spiritual growth and our understanding of what God desires for us. Okay, so we have to see, well, what's the foundation? What does the Bible say about astrology? Now that we know that it's not something from God, but it is also not similar to astronomy, okay? So the Bible clearly warns against astrology. In Isaiah 47, God rebukes Babylon and its astrologers, telling them that their reliance on the stars will not protect them from judgment. In Isaiah 47, it says, "All the advice you receive has made you tired. Where are all your astrologers, those stargazers who make predictions each month? Let them stand up and save you from what the future holds. But they are like straw burning in a fire. They cannot save themselves from the flame. You will get no help from them at all. Their heart is no place to sit for warmth." We also see in Deuteronomy 18 that divination is seen as a detestable act to God. And similarly, we see in 2 Chronicles 33 that the worship of heavenly bodies is associated with evil. Okay, Deuteronomy 18 says, for example, never sacrifice your son or daughter as a burnt offering. This is Old Covenant. And do not let your people practice fortune telling or use sorcery or interpret omens or engage in witchcraft or cast spells or function as mediums or psychics or call forth the spirits of the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. It is because the other nations have done these detestable things that the Lord your God will drive them out ahead of you. But you must be blameless before the Lord your God. The nations you are about to displace consult sorcerers and fortune tellers. But the Lord your God forbids you to do such things. Okay, scripture is quite clear about fortune telling, sorcery, mediums, and psychics. If you want to know what is going to open a door to a demon really quickly, it's involving ourselves in things like sorcery, witchcraft, Ouija boards, any type of those things, fortune telling. If we've ever gone to see a psychic, maybe this existed in your generation, maybe not even in your own life, but it's something that existed in your family or a part of your generational line. This is something that we have to look into because these things can open up doors to demonic spirits. Okay, 2 Chronicles 33. Here's another story. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 55 years. He did what was evil in the Lord's sight, following the detestable practices of the pagan nations that the Lord had driven from the land ahead of the Israelites. He rebuilt the pagan shrines his father Hezekiah had broken down. He constructed altars for the images of Baal and set up Asherah poles. He also bowed before all the powers of the heavens and worshiped them. What is Manasseh doing here? He's not worshiping the one true God. He's worshiping the other gods, the little g's. He's worshiping the powers in the heaven. He's even worshiping the stars and the moon and everything that God has created instead of the creator himself. He built pagan altars in the temple of the Lord, the place where the Lord had said, my name will remain in Jerusalem forever. He built these altars for all the powers of the heavens in both courtyards of the Lord's temple. Manasseh also sacrificed his own sons in the fire in the valley of Ben Hinnom. He practiced sorcery, divination, and witchcraft. And he consulted with mediums and psychics. He did much that was evil in the Lord's sight, arousing his anger. Okay, so we got this king of the nation that is consulting who? Not God for wisdom. He's not asking God to help him as a leader and as a king to lead the nation. He's consulting psychics. He's consulting mediums. He's consulting fortune tellers in that time to seek advice and to seek wisdom on how he should lead as a king. And the scripture is very clear that this is evil in God's sight. It's arousing God's anger because Manasseh is not taking the instruction of the Lord seriously. And the only one that we should ever go to ask for wisdom or to seek out advice is God first, trusted leaders second, and then our church community third. But we should never go to outside sources, whether that be a book or anything associated with divination or sorcery or psychics or fortune tellers or anything like that. I have a feeling that we understand this. But I think a challenging part about this topic is that this is becoming more popular in the culture, especially among young people. And so if we want to actually speak into young people's life, we also need to understand that they are involving themselves in all sorts of things. That is opening up doors to demonic activity. But it's also causing them to not see their need for the one true God. God the Father in heaven, who desires to know them personally and know us personally and allow us to grow in a relationship with him. Okay, let's continue. Unlike astrology, which tries to use the stars for control or prediction of a person's future or destiny, astronomy as a science simply studies the stars and appreciates them as the creation that God made. Okay, so reasons why people use astrology. And I'm going to let you guys read it more in depth on your own time. But here are just some of the reasons. There's curiosity, there's fun, there's fascination with the occult. The occult is just meaning witchcraft and divination and things like that. Avoidance of personal responsibility and power and control. People who involve themselves in astrology actually feel like they have control over their destiny, that they have control over their future in a demonic type of way, that they can control their own destiny. When we know according to scripture, he is the one in charge of our destiny. He has a good plan for us. But whatever that good plan is, we need to have faith and trust that God does have a good plan. Okay, the top of page 52. Three reasons why horoscopes are wrong. Number one, they divert trust from God. Relying on astrology places trust in creation rather than in the Creator. This act goes against the first commandment, which tells us to worship and trust in Him alone. By doing this, we are diverting our trust from God. Number two, they allow for loss of personal responsibility. Horoscopes make people believe that their destiny is set out for them in the stars, and therefore they don't have much say. However, this is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible states that there is a sovereign God, but we also have a role to play in the way our life turns out by the daily choices we make. And hopefully our daily choices are aligning with the will of God. And number three is fascination with the occult. Taking part in this can open individuals up to demonic influence because it is an act that is in contradiction to the Bible and can be a distraction from believing and placing our trust in God. Okay, now, I don't know if you guys have ever involved yourself in Chinese zodiacs, okay, but it is important to note that the Chinese calendar is also not biblical. It is a cultural and traditional system rooted in ancient Chinese astrology and nature-based cycles. The calendar itself predates Christianity in China. Though its modern form was refined by Jesuit missionaries in the 17th century, while it shares some lunar agricultural similarities with the Hebrew calendar, it is not considered part of the Judeo-Christian scripture. Additionally, the calendar involves the Chinese zodiac, animal signs, which some Christians view as contradictory to their faith, while others simply see it as purely cultural. Whatever your mindset is, it is important that we understand that these things are mentioned in the Bible as things we should not associate with because of their connection to the occult and demonic agendas. Okay, so this is always something popular with my father-in-law, where he says this is the year of the monkey or the rat or whatever it is, right? And I don't know, that becomes something very popular amongst us, especially Chinese people. But I think one thing that we need to understand is a lot of those things are rooted in the occult. It has nothing to do with God. It's not a harmless thing. There is a spiritual element to it. And this is what it means to love truth and to cherish truth, is that when we actually see things in our life that has nothing to do with God and what God desires, well, then we have a choice to make. To either continue in our cultural ways or our traditional ways or what we think is right, or actually begin to let go of those things and to get rid of those things so that our lives are more aligned with the will of God. And so humbly, I tell you guys that the Chinese calendar and zodiac symbols and the animals and things like that, it's not scriptural. It's not biblical. It doesn't have anything to do with God. And it's actually not harmless when we understand the demonic connection to it. That there is a spiritual dynamic behind these things. And there is a spiritual element behind these things as well. So at the end of this study, I didn't put any discussion questions. I just simply put here that if you have dabbled with astrology and horoscopes or Chinese zodiac symbols or the Chinese calendar, I would encourage you to close those doors to the enemy through repentance. And repentance is not just merely saying sorry. Repentance is a change in the way we think, which leads to a change in our behavior, in how we live. And I would encourage you to choose to refocus on the Lord through prayer, scripture, and allow the Holy Spirit to guide you in regards to questions about your future and your destiny. And I just want to leave you with a simple encouragement. That we all have choices and decisions to make, okay, as Christians. But you know, every time we have a choice or a decision to make, it's my firm belief that we need to bring those choices before God. That we shouldn't just be making choices and decisions on our own. And that's from simple choices, like choosing which university you're going to go to major choices like choosing who you will marry or choosing where God wants you to be for a career or for a job or choosing how God wants you to serve and to honor Him in your service. These are all choices that we should be bringing before God. And in Ephesians 5:17, it says, don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. What does that scripture mean? It means just don't make decisions for yourself and then just live your life how you think it's best to live it. Don't act thoughtlessly. There's a lot of people in the world who are just living life, making choices, making decisions, and they're not considering the will of God. They're not thinking about God. They're not coming to God and asking God, God, please give me wisdom. Give me direction. What is your will for my life? Because I want to be in your will. I want to make sure I'm not just making choices and decisions based on my own wants or desires, but I want to be in the will of God. Don't act thoughtlessly. But understand what the Lord wants you to do. And last week we were talking about hearing God's voice. And how do we hear God's voice? Well, the main way that we hear God's voice is through His Word. It's through Scripture. We can hear God's voice audibly. We can hear His voice and we can hear Him speaking to us in very real and tangible ways. But one of the best ways that we can hear God's voice is through His Word. But many times we struggle and we fail to take the time to actually understand God's will. And we make choices and we make decisions day after day that are not necessarily aligned with His will. Hey, and I'm not talking about choices like, hey, go to McDonald's or Tim Hortons for coffee. That's not something you need to pray about. Obvious choice is Tim Hortons, right? So at the end of the day, those are not simple choices or decisions that you need to be praying about and seeking God on, but it's life choices, decisions that have the potential to change the trajectory of your faith journey, your Christian journey, decisions that will ultimately influence your life and impact your life to where you are genuinely and seriously continuing to follow God, or where that might get disrupted in some sort of way. Okay, so don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. In the serious life choices, we need to take time to seek God, seek His wisdom. And we can also seek the advice of trusted brothers and sisters around us as well. It's a beautiful dynamic in this church where there's young and there's more seasoned, I will say. Not old, right? But more seasoned, where there's, you know, experience, right? Is that when we are seeking to make a choice, you might be like, oh, hey, Pastor Christian, what was it like for you when you made a decision to go to college? Or you might ask some of the older people, what was that decision like if when they were a Christian and they were deciding to marry someone? Or deciding to date someone, like hear each other's stories, right? And as older people, including myself, we can never be too proud to receive from younger people. And younger people, hopefully you're not too proud to receive from older people, right? But we also have to seek out the wisdom and the advice of other people who we know have been through certain things and certain experiences, and we can trust their advice and trust their wisdom as well, okay? And so we conclude there today on a truth or encouragement about decisions and life choices. And for the first time in this study, if something is coming to mind where you have involved yourself in anything related to astrology or divination or fortune telling, or psychics, or mediums, or anything that has to do with any of those things that have nothing to do with God, then we need to take a moment to repent and stop associating with those things and to follow God as He desires. Okay, so let's pause and take a moment to pray together about this. So I will pray and I'll ask you guys to join me in prayer. And we will just pray about this topic that we just learned. Father, we just thank You for Your truth. Your truth that has the ability to expose our innermost thoughts. That's what Your word says. It has the ability to expose what is right and what is wrong in our life. And God, I don't know every story or every history here. But God, if any of us have associated ourselves in anything that is linked to astrology or divination or mediums or psychics, then God, we just repent of that right now. We just rebuke every open door to those spirits that have come to influence our thinking and influence our life. And God, we just repent if we've relied on anything else other than You, God, as a source of wisdom, as a source of direction, and as a source of telling us what our future is, God, because You do have it in Your word what our future looks like as the church. And so, God, we repent of those past things, Lord. And we just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would help us to journey in a way that will honor you and to please you. And God, even as we make choices and decisions in life, I pray that we would be able to pause, slow down, take a moment to seek your will, God. Not just act thoughtlessly, not just make choices and decisions without first, God, consulting you and your word. There's a lot of destruction and burden that we can avoid in our life, God, if we are just aligned in your plan. And if we desire to follow you, God, and to follow your plan, then I just pray that we would also desire to seek your will and to seek your advice, God, before making major choices and decisions in our life. Give us the humility and give us the reverent heart to do that, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, so